Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have a verse in the Bible that summarizes all that Noah did in building an ark in response to God's warning. And we're going to read that verse and think about that in this hour. Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I think it would be profitable for us to think the Lord wants us to have some time looking at this passage, this chapter in the Bible. And the weeks ahead, we may be looking at individuals in this chapter and about their life, their faith, and their life of faith. And so I'm not sure what the Lord has for us. Maybe in your life, you need to go forward by faith. You know, you don't go backwards by faith. People say, God led me to do such and such, and they're going backwards. That's not faith. That's human reasoning. But we want to look at the life of faith. And it says here that Noah built an ark by faith. We want to think about the ingredients of his faith today. Now, I'm going to have a little preliminary to this subject. And I want to encourage you to turn to Romans chapter 1. This is quite a important verse about faith, Romans chapter 1. And it's in verse 17, but we'll look at verse 16. Romans chapter 1 talks about the importance of faith. In fact, this passage of Scripture tells us that faith is the central part of salvation, as well as it's the norm of the Christian life. In Romans 1:16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," Paul says, "for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now, it tells us what real faith is. There's a new birth, a new life. And intellectual faith, go through the motions faith, doesn't produce a new life. But verse 17 gives us a good description of this issue of faith. "For therein," that's the gospel, "is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just," that's the saved, "shall live by faith." Now, hopefully we give you some pointers today and some insights into what faith is. And if you have a religious background, you probably have heard about the word a lot, but you may not know what it means. And if you don't have a religious background, this is completely opposite of the way that people live on this earth. And so it certainly is a challenge. It's a new way of living. But in this verse, it says that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. If I could put it in simple terms, It's the, in my little pea brain, you know, the word from is the Greek word ek, which means out of. And so I have to kind of go back to the basics. You're saved. The source of salvation is faith. That's the source of salvation. Faith. All right? And then it says, from faith to faith. The word faith unto or to faith is the word ace, which means, in my simplistic, I have to always go to these root meanings to get it. It's out of faith, unto faith. Source of faith, that's your Christian life, it's by faith, definite act of faith, you're born again. And now, the Christian life is a life of faith. It's not, you have faith once in Christ and now you're set. No. You put your faith in Christ and now the whole Christian life is all about faith. Faith. Specific, deliberate, willful, known acts, decisions of faith. It's not accidental. You don't get saved by accident. And you don't live the Christian life by accident. You get saved by a deliberate, willful decision of faith. And you live the Christian life by faith. Not by accident. Whatever. It's very real. And we need to recognize that faith is such a vital, 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 vital ingredient of salvation. And faith is such a vital, vital, vital issue of the Christian life. And as we Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. Wow, sounds to me like that's pretty vital, doesn't it? So, the very root of salvation is faith. And the whole center of the Christian life is faith. And we're obviously going to talk about that. Sorry to say, much of Christian religion has made faith, given faith, a mixed up idea. That it's some kind of intellectual mere intellectual belief. Oh, I believe that. Oh, I believe that. You know, that's exactly what it is. I believe that. Well, that's not what the Bible's talking about. You know, when God put it in context, God tells Noah, I'm going to bring a flood. What did Noah say? Oh, I believe that. No, that's not how he responded to that. No. Now, as we think of the vitality of the center of faith, Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's the center of faith. Now, it's not talking about intellectual acknowledgement. Not at all. It's a deliberate, willful, knowing act. 100% turning from self and turning to Christ. It's real. Now, in a Christian life, it's just as real. And that's the problem. We need to get that defined here. Of the importance of faith and the vitality, the centrality of faith in the Christian life. So, you know, it's kind of like repentance. Repent and believe the gospel. Well, guess what? When a person, they have to repent before they get saved. But the Christian life is a life of repentance. You know, we got this whole brand of Christianity is such mixed up today. And faith is a big decision to get saved. And faith is a continuous decision that takes place in the Christian life. Faith. Now, so think about it. The Bible says that when you pray, you have to pray in faith. Wow. Book of Colossians says, as ye have received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk ye in him. This is a whole Christian walk is a life of faith. The Bible tells us that you can't grow without faith. The Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, it's talking about food. And you know, to grow by food, you have to, first of all, you have to eat it. You know, you have to ingest it. And then you have to digest it. And then it has to be assimilated into your body. And then you have to exercise. Reading the Bible without faith, you aren't going to grow. You aren't going to grow at all. You got to read it, understand it, digest it, got to obey it, you have to decide, and you have to do it. That's how you grow. You miss any one of those aspects of it, you know what? You aren't going to grow. You could eat a lot of food, but if you had the flu, you aren't going to grow. You know, it's just simple truth, right? So we need to think about that that thought of faith. Okay, so let's take a step backwards. All right. You're saved by faith. One of the great key ideas of faith is surrender, dependence. Can you get saved if you're depending partially on yourself and partially on God? Can you? No. Can you get saved if you're partially depending on you and partially depending on God? Well, that's what most religions are. They're partially depending on how good they are, and they're partially depending on Jesus. Well, that's not salvation, is it? 100%. Dependence, 100% dependence is the key issue of faith. Now, I want to look at Noah's faith today. Now, the Bible says in Rome, in Genesis 6, that Noah was just. That means he was righteous. That means he was saved. That means he had put his faith in the promise of God of a coming Savior that was going to come through the line of the woman, and he's born again. And now, as a born-again believer, he gets a chance to exercise his faith. As a born-again believer, he gets a chance to exercise his faith. He started off by faith. Now he's going to get a chance to exercise his faith. And so God tells Noah, God decides that the world is a hopeless situation. Of all the descendants of Adam and Eve, there's only one godly family left. Now, you know, that's quite amazing, isn't it? That shows you the power of evil. That shows you the power of the sinful nature. You don't think the sinful nature is real? You got one and I have one. How real is it? Adam and Eve, they had At first, they had two sons. One's name was Abel, and one was named was Cain. And you know what? Cain was a murderer. That's pretty bad, isn't it? That shows you how evil our sin nature is. And the Bible tells us in Genesis there, it tells us that the earth had gotten so bad that there's only one godly family left. And it tells us the circumstances. And I think it's important for us to realize this today. And it wasn't meant to be part of the sermon, but it's good preaching material. It says in Genesis 6, it says, when the sons of that came to pass, when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. So we have a problem that we even see today. The sons of God, the ones that were saved, decided that it was more important to have a beautiful wife than to have a godly wife. A lot of guys make that decision, don't they? And the Bible says that the sons of God, the godly line, godly seed, that was through Seth, that replaced Abel, decided, what we want is we want beauty and not godliness. That's what America is made up of, right? Beauty, not godliness. A lot of people make that decision. Young men make that decision. Young ladies, they make that decision. Their life's about beauty, the flesh, not about God. Well, what happened was I only got one godly family on the earth. They were really outnumbered. Now, I wonder, the question is this. Do you think God created Adam and Eve to fill the earth with a godly seed or an ungodly seed? What does that mean? I didn't drop anything. Is that you, Jerry? He's the only other guy with a microphone. Okay. So God said, we got to start over. Isn't it great that God starts over? God says, I'm going to start over. And by the way, he could start over with you. You could choose Jesus Christ and you could start something good. But it's up to you. You can go along with the flow. You can go along with the downward direction of everything. Or you can decide that God can start over with you. And so the Bible says that the earth was full of the exact same things it's full of today. Violence. Wow. Violence everywhere. Violence in schools. Violence in homes. Violence in neighborhoods. Violence in the world. Violence, video games. The major thing video games major on is violence. People love it. Can you imagine kids? They spend hours and hours and hours killing people on video games. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's wicked. But that's what we let kids do. Kids can't even be kids anymore. You know what? There's somebody trying to make a big buck off of kids. And parents don't have enough sense that that's not what kids need. Sin nature, just take that and make a horrible person out of that child. But the earth was full of violence. And you know what? The imagination of man of wickedness was continually evil. Wow. You know, people are always figuring out some kind of new sin. You know that? You know what? Don't spend too much time on the internet and find out all these wicked sins that people are inventing. Yeah, that's trash. But the world is inventing all sorts of evil. That's all they can think about is some kind of evil they can come up with. That's the world we live in. And God said, that's it. I'm going to destroy this world. And I got to start over. Who can I start over with? Oh, there's one family that's still godly. Just one. Can you imagine that? Just one family. One family, as far as we know of. Apparently, in that 120 years, any of the others that were saved were dying off. But God appears to Noah, and he tells Noah something. He says, Noah, 120 years from now, this world is going to be destroyed. This world is going to be destroyed. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that this earth was covered with water. You know, all you got to do is drive up to Tomah, Wisconsin along the freeway. You see this huge rock standing up, way up in the sky, made out of sandstone, that has all the evidence of the world that there was water as tall as that rock and washed all but the sides of that rock away. That's a lot of water, isn't it? Yeah, go on top of Mount Everest. And you know what you're going to find up on Mount Everest? You're going to find all sorts of tiny marine fossils. Man, how'd they get way up there? Well, two reasons. One, because the earth was all covered with water. That's how they got up there. You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that there was a flood. But there's a reason for a flood. And that's because of man's sin. And you know, people don't think that God judges sin. You know, I wonder, do you think God judges sin? You think you're going to live and get away with it? You think you're going to live a life of sin, live a worldly life, and it's going to work out good? All you got to do is go to the funeral home. And that tells you it isn't going to work out good because God told Adam and Eve, the day you sin, you're going to die. And death is a 100% guaranteed entity for you and I, unless the Lord comes back and you're saved. But death is because of the judgment of sin. God judges sin. And the flood is the evidence that God judges sin. Now, most preachers don't believe that God judges sin. And a lot of Christians don't live like God judges sin. But the flood is the fact that God judges sin. And there is one man that God saved from that judgment, and it was the family of Noah. Now, let's think about how this all works. God decides he's going to judge the world of sin. This world, because of its sin, with a flood. And all flesh is going to die. All living beings are going to die. And so he tells Noah, I'm going to judge this earth. And you're going to have to build a nice big ship with three stories. And you're going to get every different kind of animal and bird in this ship to preserve life on the earth. And your family is going to be the only humans that are on that ship. Well, he didn't really say that. He said, you're going to be on the ship. And you need to warn people about this fact that the judgment is coming, and if they will repent, they can come on the ship too. Now, so, what would you have done if you were Noah? Now, we want to kind of take a journey through what is faith by looking at Noah. Okay? First of all, what do we want to see? How did he show his faith? He showed his faith by what? He showed his faith by listening to God. First of all, he listened to God. The Bible says, by faith, being warned of God. God said, I'm going to bring a flood. Now, what would you say if God says, I'm going to judge the world? You're going to say, maybe. Maybe. Maybe it'd happen. Nah, it's not going to happen. You know, obviously the first step of faith is listening to God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's what the Bible says. So faith always involves a person deciding to listen to God. Now, what do you decide to listen to God? Well, I'm going to make it real simple. You know what? There's people going to be in this auditorium today that they're going to hear the message, but they aren't going to hear a thing. You know why? Because they chose not to listen. They chose not to listen. And you know, you can read your Bible and choose not to listen. Well, there's another point. Faith is that which causes a person to choose to read their Bible. They choose to read their Bible. They choose to find out what God says. There's a choice. Now, the Bible says he was warned of God. Now, what does it mean when it says he's warned of God? Well, I think there's some action that took place there. God says he's going to bring a flood, and you're going to build a ship to escape this. And Noah had, first of all, to listen to God, and then he had to let what God said affect him. He had to let it affect him. Right? And what does the Bible say? Happened. He was warned. Now, that's not a neutral word. That's a positive word. That means he was warned. Now, what does that mean? He took this seriously. That's what it means. He took it seriously. Hey, this is really going to happen. He took it seriously. He allowed his mind to be informed. Now, think with me. This dad says to the son, don't do that. Does that mean they were warned? Well, sorta. But when they go and do what he said not to do, they weren't warned, were they? They weren't warned. They didn't get it. Now Noah got it. You know how he got it? By faith. By faith. There was a decision to allow the Word of God to have an effect upon his soul. There's a decision he made. You make that decision. I make that decision all the time. To have the Word of God affect our soul. Give you a little illustration. Years ago, right at the beginning of cell phone companies, Nextel, that was a first time cell company, right? Nextel. I don't know if they're still in existence, but Nextel. And you know, the cell phones where you pushed a button, and you know, and you could talk to the other person, one of your who's on, whoever, how many people in your family had that phone, you'd push a button and you'd have radio correspondence, you know. Anyway, so one day Nextel came to our house. Says, we want to build a cell tower on your property. You're next to the freeway. And presented to the church. They want to build a cell tower, and they were going to give us $800 a month for 20 years, something like that. And so we brought it to the church, and you know, and people said, well, you know, maybe something would go across those airwaves that wouldn't be right. Maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we should think about this. You know? And whatever. And so I called up these guys and they says, we got to think about it. Well, the next day, next week, one of our neighbors signed a contract with Nextel. We weren't going to be able to decide where the tower was going to be. We were going to have to look at this ugly tower. And the airwaves were still going to go across our property. And I was reading the Bible. I was reading about the spies going out of the land of Canaan and coming back and saying, you know what? We need to, God to give us the land. God to give us the land. And somebody said, nah, I don't think so. And the people said, I don't think so. And God says, okay, that's it. You got a chance. You're not going. You can wander around for 40 years. I was reading that passage of scripture. I was thinking about what happened. I says, you know what? There's a lesson here. There's a warning. When God gives you an opportunity, you better not hem and haw. You better act. Because it only comes once in a lifetime. I read that Bible passage and I says, you know what? That's what I learned from this lesson. You got to have faith. You have decisive faith when God brings an opportunity. Well, about 2 days later, I saw a sign up in front of that yellow house over there. It was white then. For sale. For sale. The only farm I had ever seen for sale on this street. And I said to myself, this land will only be one for sale once in my lifetime. Got home, called up the real estate man, says, I want an appointment. He says, we're not showing it till Saturday morning. I'll be there. And so we're there at 10 o'clock looking at the property. I saw the real estate agent and I said to the lady, what's the price? She said, $265. I says, okay, let's go to the office. We'll write an offer for $267 right now. And she didn't know what to do. So, okay. She'd just been on 1 week. I says, you know what? So I told my wife, this is one chance in a lifetime. You don't have time to mess around when God gives you an opportunity. You better go forward by faith. You got to be decisive. Well, make a long story short, won't tell you the rest of the story, but the Lord gave us that property. But you know what? I guarantee you, even the day that we got the the owner accepted our offer. He had an offer of $30,000 more cash that he could have taken. But you know, the Bible has to have an effect upon your life. Faith is not only reading God's word, listening to the message, but faith is the decision to be instructed and to receive the instruction of the Bible. It doesn't an accident. It doesn't come out of the sky. It comes from our heart. It's a willful, purposeful decision to be affected by the truth of the Bible. That's faith. You don't get a lightning bolt out of heaven. You don't get someone hitting you over the head with a 2x4. No. The Bible says that Noah was warned of God and he was moved with fear. Fear. Man, if I don't do this, guess what's going to happen to me? I'm going to drown with all the rest of the people. Exactly. He was warned. You know why he was warned? By faith. He decided that God told the truth. And that he better receive what God said, because God was truthful and God was holy and God could do it. So he decided that he would let God warn him, and he got warned. You know, it's by faith. He was moved by fear. Let me ask you a question. When you read the Bible, do you get moved by fear? Does it move you on the inside? Man, I better do something about this. I better act up on this. I better obey this. I mean, that's what it means, right? It's all based on faith. Because faith believes that God is real. And that God's word is the truth. And that what God says will come to pass. Even if we don't know how it's going to come to pass. It will. And we're going to respond to that. And so it says, he was moved with fear. He reckoned it to be true. It affected his... You know, what do you think fear is? I was thinking about, well, I think fear is an emotion. I mean, I think so. Is that right? Would be fear be an emotion? No, I think so. Yeah. Remember how we were talking last week that faith has to do with your whole being? Has to do with your intellect? Has to do with your affections, your emotions, has to do with your will. You know what? The word of God affected his emotions. You know, you can hear the word of God and you can go out like a dead pumpkin and no effect. You know what it tells me? You don't have much faith. Maybe you aren't saved at all. God is true. God's word is true. Now, so he says he received the word of God. He was affected by the word of God. And then it says this. He prepared an ark. He acted. He acted on what God said. He acted. There was the will. There's a definite act that took place. Now, what was involved in this act? Well, you know, I think there's some important things about this action. You know what? This action was a calculated action. I just read that I think Ken Ham spent $12 million building an ark that isn't even going to float. He might float, but I don't think he'd float through the flood. Noah had to build an ark that's going to float through the most violent storm the earth ever experienced. I tell you what, you don't go out with a chainsaw and cut some trees down and just build an ark. You have to have engineering. You have to have engineering. A lot of engineering. You have to have a lot of materials. You know, if Ken Ham spent $12 million, I wonder how much Noah spent to build an ark. You have an idea? And where do you think he got that money? You know where I think he got that money? I think he got it from his pocket. That's right. He financed the ark. Do you think a bank was going to finance that ark? Oh, no way. They're going to finance something they don't even believe is going to happen? No. You know, that's one of the number one reasons people don't have faith is because faith is always risky. And you know, people don't like to be uncomfortable, do they? No, I guess some people are foolish, don't mind. But I think a sane person doesn't like to be uncomfortable. But you know, risk is a little bit uncomfortable. You can talk about it, but you know, faith always costs something. You know what I learned as a pastor? This isn't always true, but you know, when you want to go do something, the most of the time, the no votes are pocketbook votes. It's a vote that we aren't going to do this because I don't want any pressure on my pocketbook, and my pocketbook's got a lock and key on it, and nobody's going to touch my money. That's very real. You know, a person can be at the end of their life and they say, nobody's touching my money. A person can be young and say, I got plenty I want to do with my money. I ain't got to invest in God's work. You know, a person can have a large family. So I'm not going to give my money to God. You know, that's all of a sudden now you're talking about something that's real. You know, faith is risky. It costs you something. You know what? Maybe Christine is listening. But you know, they had to decide to go to Africa. Do you know what that means to a lady? To go live in Africa? Do you know what that means? That to live in a secure compound the rest of your life? To have to go through the inconvenience of life in Africa? That's a lot. You know what? The risk is you have to give yourself to very unknown, possibly dangerous, insecure, difficult lifestyle. I tell you what, that costs you something. That's faith. You know that? It's faith to obey God when it's going to cost you something. Most people don't want to pay anything. You know, when we signed the dotted line to buy the original church property, I figured it out. We were 11 members and we voted to go forward with this piece of property. We haven't settled the deal yet. I figured it out. Our payment would be $200 more a month than our total giving. And I told my wife, I says, well, you know what? I'm voting for it. If that means I got to get another job to pay for it, so be it. This is what we're going to do. You know, faith is risky. Noah had to risk everything. What did he have to risk? He had to risk his reputation. He had to risk his money. He had to risk 120 years of his life. He had to risk everything. What do you think he had left after he spent all his money building an ark? I don't think he had any money left. And if he did, what good would it do? Who is he going to buy something from? There wasn't anybody to buy anything from. Right? Couldn't go to the bank. There wasn't any banks left. It's risky. But you know what? Faith is calculated. This is going to cost me something. And I believe God is right. And I believe God is true. And it doesn't matter what it costs me, I'm doing it. Now, it's not only calculated, but I call it concrete. Faith is always concrete. Because it took 120, we don't know for sure, but it was 120 years between the announcement and the finishing of the ark, and maybe it did take him 120 years to build the ark, but it's a long time. It's a long time. Knowing myself and knowing humans, you know, a lot of people have faith for a short period of time. Very few people have faith for a long period of time. Very few people. I find that it's even difficult for people who say that they're saved to have strong faith, can make a decision when they're a young Christian and keep it until they die. Very few people don't, they just don't have that. Faith is not very real. And I say, wow, I tell you what, it takes a lot of faith to keep building this ark that's taking all your money, keep building it for year after 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 year. And there's no evidence the flood is coming other than God said it. No evidence. In fact, everything else is in the opposite direction. You know, every book in the world has been written how stupid you are. Noah builds an ark. Ha, ha, ha. The front lines of the New York Times. The front lines. What did I say? The front line. Front headlines of the New York Times. Yeah. Noah's building an ark. Concrete. I've said this. You know, it's easy to have faith when God answers your prayer the next week. But it's not so easy when it's been 10 years and he hasn't answered your prayer. Right? What do most people do? What do young ladies do? They think, man, I've lived godly enough, long enough. I don't have any prospects, so I'll forget it. I'm not going to be dressing like a Christian anymore. I'm going to be dressing like the world. I got better prospects out there. I'll never get a godly man. I might as well live worldly and get an ungodly man. Wow. to have faith over a long period of time? That's faith. That's faith. It's calculated, it's concrete, and it's confident. God said it. It's going to happen. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter that nobody believes me. It doesn't matter that nobody repents. It doesn't matter that we're only a small crowd. Isn't it sad? So many Christian dads, they run their family on public opinion. They don't go by what the Bible says. They're so concerned about public opinion. They're so concerned about fitting into the crowd. Huh. And work. We just had a man. He's in heaven today. You know what? He didn't quit. He didn't change his convictions. In fact, he is a man that as time went on, his convictions always went up. That's what we're talking about. But notice, it says here, he prepared an ark. But this is great. It says, to the saving of his house. There's always a reward to faith. There's always a reward to faith. Isn't that great? There's a reward to faith. There's a positive, spiritual, real reward to faith. Now, it took 120 years. He built this ark. And when it was done, the flood came and his family was saved. Why was his family saved? Because Noah built an ark. That's why they were saved. Why did he build an ark? He built an ark because he believed what God said and he acted upon it. And who benefited from it? His family. His family benefited from his faith. Isn't that great? You know, there is a benefit, there's a reward to faith. You can say, well, I'm not going to make big steps of faith. I'm going to take it the easy way. I'm going to be the middle road type of Christian. I'm not going to go to high ground. I'm going to go to the easy way. I'm going to fit into the crowd. You know what you're going to be missing? You're going to miss the benefits of faith. You're going to miss the rewards of faith. You know what? Many times the rewards of faith are far in the future. They're far in the future. But you know, we live in a day people don't care about the future. They're just so selfish and so self-centered and so fleshly. Everything is about right now. No, guess what? Life isn't about right now. Life is about right now and the future. And Noah made a big decision of faith. And guess what? His family was saved by it. You can almost think of it. They're all in the boat. And the reality of the flood is taking place. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Dad. 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 I'm so glad you had faith. Mrs. Noah says, Noah, You know, I had my doubts, but I know that you're a man of God, and I've learned to just trust you. Boy, dear, I'm glad you had faith. There's a reward to faith. Most of the time it's in a big distant future. But there's a reward. And Noah experienced that reward of faith. And no, that's what life is about. Life is about making big decisions of faith based on the Bible. And living that life, and then near the end of that life, begin to reap the rewards of faith. Yeah, that's really kind of goes. Near the end of life, you begin to reap the rewards of faith. That is so exciting, isn't it? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Decide that you're going to do what's right. Decide that you're going to have godliness in your home. Decide that you're going to get the world out of your home. Decide you're going to obey the Bible, even in areas when people don't, that isn't too popular. Be affected by God's word. You know, How is a man lead his home? A man leads his home by he reads the Bible and he says, you know what? We're doing something about that. We're doing something about that. I just read what the Bible says and I understand. We're doing something about that. That's a decision of faith. Amen. Oh, you think it's easy? No. Is it costly? Yeah. Will it take a long time to see the results? Yeah. Will they come? Yes, sir. There's a reward of faith. You know what? You got to get yourself out of this worldly now generation. There's only one thing that really gives you much for now. The Bible says the pleasures of sin are for a season. But the blessings of obeying God are normally in another season. Another season. To live for the future. To see the unseen. Requires a life of faith. To believe what God says, that God knows what He's talking about. And it doesn't need to be explained away. That's a life of faith. And it's going to require big decisions of faith. And those decisions of faith aren't going backwards. There's so much Christianity is, I remember Northland Baptist Bible College. They changed their venue of music to rock music. And I remember the president of Northland said, I have fasted and prayed about this decision for months. I tell you what, he wasn't praying to that God. He was going backwards, but he was deceived. It takes faith to go forward. Amen. It takes faith to go forward for God. And it always requires a decisive decision that requires and involves action that costs us something. Costs us something. Without faith, impossible to please God. Yep, you and I are softies. We like the easy way. But God is calling us to a higher plane of living. a plane of living that's called the life of faith. And maybe God is speaking to your heart today about faith. Some simple ingredients. It takes faith to go to the Bible. It takes faith to let the Bible affect your thinking and your soul. It takes faith to make decisions that you're going to do something about what the Bible says. And it takes faith to do it. And it takes faith not to turn back. And someday, in God's day, you'll reap the reward of faith. You will reap the reward of faith. Because God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Let's pray. Lord, there are so many great things we can learn from Noah. And Lord, I'm sure that his faith was much bigger than we've been able to describe. But Lord, it was real. And it was big. And it was resulted in obedience and action. It caused him to put eternal values ahead of his money. There are so many aspects of it. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would use this little lesson today and the illustration of a great life in the Bible to challenge us. And Lord, there must be something that for this whole church and individuals in it. Decisions of faith that you'll be facing us with, challenging us with. That humanly will not be easy, maybe costly, but will launch us forward for you. And I pray that, Lord, it would be true in people's personal lives, that they will be exercising faith and obedience to the Bible in a very specific way. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe even today, you say, you know, my attitude towards the Bible and obeying the Bible needs to exemplify a man of faith. My desire to obey the Bible needs to exemplify a person of faith. No matter what it costs to obey God, to obey God's word, I need to be willing to be decisive. Maybe you're here today and you say, no, I feel like God wants me to be a person of greater faith. And I realize that's a general statement. But you have not have been a person exercised by faith. You've been a person, deliberately too cautious to obey God. But today, you realize that to obey God requires faith, because God said it. And you say, you know, there's areas of my life where I need to obey God. And I've been unwilling to in the past, but God is speaking to my heart today about I need to be a person of faith. Learning from Noah, maybe that faith is going to cost you something. Maybe it's going to make you uncomfortable because you're going to have to risk something. And say, God is calling to me, speaking my heart about faith. Pastor, would you pray for me? Anyone here today? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Okay. Amen. Amen. Lord, now I pray that you would take the word of God, these decisions, bring glory to your Son. And Lord, we thank you that you called us to live a life of faith. And Lord, we know that for these people who've heard your voice, it's always difficult to go forward by faith. Very uncomfortable. But I pray that their confidence in you would be strong. And their desire to obey you, Lord, would be concrete. And that, Lord, that they would definitely count the cost of what it means to go forward by faith and be willing to pay the price and have the patience, Lord, to wait to see what you'll do. And so, Lord, use your word in lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.